Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Another NFL star is in trouble with the law. This time, former most valuable player Adrian Peterson. The Minnesota Vikings decided he will not play this weekend after Peterson has been named in an arrest warrant in Texas, accused of beating his 4-year-old son with a tree branch. The investigation of this case began in May.
We're told that he initially went before a grand jury and was very remorseful, and I'm told from my source that he was actually crying, saying he realizes he went too far with his son, but he made a mistake. And that first grand jury decided to not charge him, but then the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office took it before a second grand jury, and that grand jury handed down the indictment yesterday here in Montgomery County.
Isaiah Carey of Houston's Fox 26 reporting from Conroe, Texas, where sheriff's investigators say Peterson has been cooperative. His lawyer says Peterson never intended to harm his son and that he deeply regrets the unintentional injury. The controversial requirement that voters have photo IDs on Election Day has been restored in Wisconsin in time for a close race this fall.
The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals lifted a stay on a district judge's ruling blocking the state's voter ID law's implementation. Wisconsin has one of the most closely watched governor's races in the entire nation, as incumbent Scott Walker, a possible Republican presidential candidate, is locked in a tight re-election battle.
Dan O'Donnell of Fox Radio Station WISN in Milwaukee. A city councilor who's the older brother of hospitalized Mayor Rob Ford is replacing him in his election campaign in Toronto.
We want to build on the progress that Rob has made. And so, folks, I have officially entered this campaign. Thank you.
Doug Ford speaking to reporters in the past hour. Rob Ford is being treated for an abdominal tumor. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Getting you hired, I'm Cheryl Cassoni with the Fox Business Network. Liberty Tax Service is looking for nearly 40,000 seasonal workers as they get ready to tackle tax season across the country. The company has prepared 18 million tax returns since its inception. They need tax preparers, office supervisors, district managers, and marketers. National Grid is a power company that needs 200 positions filled, call center staff, meter readers, engineers needed, hiring in New York, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. Shamrock Foods has two divisions, Shamrock Food Service and Shamrock Farms. 200 jobs are open. They need plant operations positions filled, warehouse staff, and driver jobs are also open. Virginia, Arizona, Colorado, and California. Finally, Network FOB is a shipping company for freight customers and business customers across the U.S. They have 300 jobs open. They hope to fill by the end of the year. Account managers, branch managers, admin staff needed. Florida, Texas, Illinois, Missouri, and Colorado. For more on these opportunities, go to CassoniExchange.com. I'm Cheryl Cassoni, Fox Business Network, Fox News Radio.
Secretary of State John Kerry was working to round up support in Turkey for the fight that America plans to lead against ISIS militants in Iraq and Syria. He says 40 countries are offering support in one way or another. The parents of a journalist who was killed by ISIS terrorists in Syria says the U.S. government worked with them to try to rescue their son.
Diane and John Foley didn't hear from their son Thanksgiving of 2012. They didn't know what happened to James until a Belgian man called them.
His young son, Jesuin, a Belgian teenager, had joined the jihad unbeknownst to his father and gone to Syria,
where he was one of Foley's guards. Diane told Fox News' Greta Van Susteren that they then talked to the FBI.
We were told to not talk to the media at all.
She has since said the government threatened them if they raised ransom money. A State Department spokeswoman says it's their job to help families understand America's laws regarding ransom, and that Foley's employer said there was never a real ransom request on the table. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
Police say they found the remains of a missing 2-year-old boy in Austin, Texas, where Colton Brandt is now considered the victim of a homicide.
The person of interest is, at this time in this investigation, is his mother.
Police Chief Art Acevedo says Megan Work is in custody. A conviction for South Africa's most famous Paralympian.
Blade runner Oscar Pistorius was found guilty today of culpable homicide or manslaughter for the killing last year of model girlfriend Reva Steenkamp. He was acquitted, however, of a more serious premeditated murder charge. His bail was also extended. Sentencing is set for October 13th. He could get a maximum of 15 years in jail for the charge. An appeal is also possible. In Pretoria, South Africa, Greg Palka, Fox News Radio.
Away from the headlines of family violence in the NFL, the Players Union has approved a new league-wide drug policy, including tests for human growth hormone, which is an illegal performance enhancer. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McGrady. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McGrady or visit him on the web at AaronMcGrady.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I am Aaron McGrady. I'm glad that you have decided to join us today. We have got a great show on tap for you today. Coming up here in just a few moments is Georgia State Representative Alan Peek. And for those of you here in Georgia, and we have a vast listening audience in the state of Georgia, you've probably heard of this man. He is on the forefront of fighting for the cannabis oil that will help hundreds and thousands of children in the state of Georgia. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And then coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to have State Senate candidate Greg Williams on, and he'll be talking about his campaign and his vision and where he sees he will fit in the State Senate. He is running for Jason Carter, who's currently Democratic nominee for governor here in Georgia. He's running for his Senate seat here in Georgia. But joining me now live is Representative Alan Peek, and this man needs really no introduction. As I said before, if you're listening here in Georgia, he is on the forefront of medical marijuana, medical cannabis, trying to get this thing through the Senate and the legislature in Georgia. Representative Peek, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be with you, Aaron. And let me just tell you, thank you so much for your interest in this issue. I appreciate you continuing to keep the momentum going by making people aware of how important an issue it is. So thank you for having me back on.
Well, thank you. And, you know, the last time that you were on, that was, you know, I don't typically listen to the shows back, but that one I listened to. And, I mean, it just listening to the families that we had on, and then even, you know, you're having, for those of you listeners that don't know, you're actually having some joint committees, several of them actually, and some hearings where people can hear from the families, and just listening to those just really breaks your heart because this isn't something that, you know, when people think of medical marijuana, they, you know, it kind of has a misnomer, and people, when you use that term, kind of go against it, but it's really the cannabis oil is what we're talking about, and that has no side effects for the children. It actually helps them with illnesses and disabilities.
That's right. We went down this path, started last January, after I met a little four-year-old girl named Haley Cox, and after meeting her, hearing her story of her mom and her, we're going to have to move to Colorado. She was having up to 200 seizures a day. It really was just at their last gasp effort. And I realized, you know what, that if this was my daughter, this was my granddaughter, I have a granddaughter about her same age, I would do everything on earth. I would crawl over broken glass to pass legislation for her to have access to cannabis oil that has shown some really significant improvements for these kids with seizure disorders. And so that's how this effort started. What we need to make sure people understand that this is, we're not going for legalization of medical marijuana for any diagnosis. We're not going for legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes. This is for decriminalization of cannabis oil that has a maximum amount of THC so low that you cannot get high off of it. It cannot be smoked. It's administered orally or intravenously. Once people realize that that's what we were going for, there has been just a tidal wave of momentum across the state of people going, hey, it is time for us to do this, provide this as an option for families. And so I'm really optimistic that my colleagues and the governor as well, too, have finally come to a conclusion that this is we need to find the right infrastructure that works for citizens in our state so this can be an option for them, not only for kids with seizure disorders, but also for those that may have chronic pain or cancer or MS or other diagnoses that could potentially benefit from this cannabis oil.
You know, this isn't a far-fetched effort either. I mean, last year, in the last legislative session, it went through in the Georgia House of Representatives 171-4, and then when it went over to the Senate, it had unanimous support. So, you know, it's not this far-fetched idea. I mean, people do see the benefits of it, and it has great support in Georgia.
It does. We really initially, folks were very hesitant, you know, very concerned. You know, if I've heard the phrase slippery slope one time, I've heard it 1,000 times. You know, if I've heard it, that this is a gateway drug, well, you know what? Here's the reality. It is a gateway drug. It's a gateway drug for these children to come off of the unbelievably debilitating FDA-approved drugs that they're having to take every single day that have such incredible negative side effects. So, yeah, it is a gateway drug. These kids that have moved to Colorado, little Haley Cox, that moved to Colorado, have seen amazing results. Have gone from having 100 to 200 seizures a day to having one in the last 8 days.
In
the last 8 days, and seen amazing results. And this is just not just one or two kids. These are hundreds of kids that are seeing positive results from this cannabis oil. And so, coming off completely the FDA drugs that were, again, in some cases almost leaving the children comatose, almost killing them. And so there is evidence that this works. There is evidence that this really drastically improves the quality of life for these children. And so I tell you, Aaron, it has just become a mission for me. That even if I go down in flames, which I might, I'm going to fight for these children. I'm going to fight for these families no matter what it takes until my last breath.
Well, that's one thing about you, too, and I want everyone that's listening to know this. You know, some politicians out there will raise an issue to bring it up to pacify the constituents, and then, you know, if it passes or fails, you know, that's good, that's bad. And then, you know, if it fails, they just move on to the next item and don't really pay much attention. But you really continuously work with these families, and you're bringing it up again. And I think that says a lot about your character, and you're really a champion for these families that really would not have any voice any other way. And like you said, in my opinion, when these families have to leave a great state like Georgia to go to Colorado for medical treatment, you know, that doesn't bode well on us, and we really need to take care of really the people that take care of us.
Well, you're right, and it's interesting. I'm an unlikely candidate to be involved in this effort. I mean, I've never smoked marijuana ever. I've never done any type of drugs. Now, I've got plenty of vices, I can promise you that, and I've got plenty of things that people could say about me, but drugs is not one of them. But it comes back to the reality of this. If this was my child, and any of my legislative colleagues, they're in the same position. If this were their child was suffering like this, they'd be fighting like crazy, fighting with all the passion within them to pass legislation. And so I think that's the perspective we have to take, is, you know what, this is somebody's child. This is somebody's child who's suffering every day because of these seizures, that every day when those seizures go off in their brain are causing them just a little more brain damage, and they're losing just a little bit more of their child. And so it's necessary that we move quickly. Unfortunately, we've lost two of our kids this year since the legislative session ended, Abe Hopkins, who died from a seizure, a young boy, and Trinity Sumlin, who had moved to Colorado in an effort to obtain cannabis oil, had been on it for about 4 weeks, had seen some really amazing results, and then died from some other natural causes last week. So we keep saying our mantra is we can't move fast enough, and you know that's true. We cannot move fast enough for these kids. We need to come up with a good solution that works and provides a safe, effective delivery system for them inside Georgia.
Now, the joint committee that you've co-chaired, tell us a little bit about that and what's the purpose of that.
Okay.
And last year, I mean, it went straight through a landslide in the House of Representatives, and like I said before, unanimous support in the Senate. So what's the purpose, I guess, of the Joint Committee?
Well, when the effort failed last year, we took a couple of measures. One was the creation of a study committee that would take a good hard look at, okay, do we need a medical cannabis program in our state? And if we do, which I think the legislature has spoken clearly that that is the case, how do we set it up? And so what we've done is created five different hearings across the state. First one was kind of an introduction to why do we need cannabis oil. Second one was hearing from families and citizens who have different diagnoses. The third one, which is going to be October 1st in Gwinnett, is going to deal with law enforcement and the issues that they have. And then the fourth one will be November 12th in Augusta at GRU. And we'll hear from the medical community on that. And then the last one will be December the 2nd back in Atlanta, where we'll kind of do a summary and review. But we've had really great testimony. We've had really good input from citizens. People can go to the Georgia Medical Cannabis Study Committee on Facebook, and you can get a lot of updates on when the committee hearings are and media coverage of it as well, too. But that's not the only thing we've done. We decided that we were going to move forward. If we failed as a legislature to come up with a solution, we're going to create a nonprofit that would provide an opportunity for families to move to Colorado. So we created the Journey of Hope Fund, and people can find out about it at Journey of Hope on Facebook or journeyofhopefund.com. Where we've created a nonprofit that is helping families move to Colorado, providing moving expenses and providing up to 6 months of rent, so that families that maybe are split up, maybe the mom and the child go out there, but the dad's got to stay home, or vice versa, for work purposes, they won't have to worry about having to sell their home or worry about another house payment somewhere else. And so this has been a real success. We've had 8 families that have moved out so far. We've got 2 more about to move in the next 4 weeks. We're raising money as fast as we can for other families that want to move out there. So we're trying to find a solution for these families. If we can't find a legislative solution right now, by God, we're going to find a solution to be able to get them out there so that they can have access for their kids to this cannabis oil right away.
And one question, this is going to probably throw you off, but why can't more politicians be like you? I mean, you're doing this to help other people, and you've really taken this as your cause. If we had more people to take up causes and be passionate about the issues like you, I mean, we'd be a much better state, much better nation, and we'd all be better for it.
Well, I thank you for those kind words, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of legislators just like me. There are legislators in the House and the Senate who have bought into this vision, and I could name a dozen right now, senators like Butch Miller, House of Representatives like Micah Gravley and Scott Turner and Ben Watson. And I know I'll leave out people that are fighting for this cause also, so I'm sorry to my colleagues that I left out, but there are plenty. I promise you they're out there. Bruce Thompson, senator who's fighting for this cause as well, too. There are a lot of folks that are out there fighting for this. That's why I'm so encouraged. There are challenges. People are concerned that we don't go down a slippery slope. I'm concerned about that. And let me just make it real clear that I will fight with as much passion and as much conviction to stop the legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes as I have fought for this to legalize medical cannabis oil for kids in our state. That is not the path we're going. That is not the direction we want to go. We want to create a safe, effective delivery system of cannabis oil that is so low in THC that no one can get high from it, but that provides very real therapeutic improvement for not only kids with seizure disorders, but other citizens with other types of diagnosis. That is what we're going to fight for. I'm confident that my colleagues have gotten it. I'm confident that the governor has gotten it. And so I'm looking forward to next session trying to come up with a good bill that we can all support, get passed very quickly so we can bring these families back home.
What is one thing that, or maybe it's more than one thing, that could just totally blindside everybody and cause us not to pass? Because, you know, I believe in you know, making sure that we're on the right path, but also having the bigger picture and being able to overcome any obstacles, too. Is there any obstacles out there? I mean, you talk about the slippery slope, but anything that could really cause us not to pass?
Well, that's a really good question. I don't think there is. The biggest challenge we have is just making sure that we create a listen, the cultivation of cannabis in the state of Georgia to provide a delivery system for our citizens is a scary thing to a lot of people. I get that. All of a sudden, we're going to have, you know, if the plan, if we go, it's going to plan, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 licensed growers who will be licensed to grow the cannabis, to cultivate it, to process it, and to dispense it based upon doctor's recommendations. And so that's scary for people. They think, okay, all of a sudden there's going to be a black market for marijuana, and all of a sudden people are going to be able to start getting marijuana just for a headache. And let me tell you, that's the furthest thing from what we're trying to accomplish. And so, but that stigma and that fear is out there, and I get that. But my promise and my commitment is that we're going to have the tightest, the most restrictive, the most safest, most regulated infrastructure or delivery system for cultivation here in Georgia than any other state in the country. And I've got some experts from all over the country who are helping me draft and get there. So I'm confident we're going to get there. You know, I was confident last year and we failed miserably. Maybe it was because of my ineffectiveness as a legislator. I've, you know, struggled with that, you know. But I believe we've gotten to the point now where I think most of my colleagues are educated about the issue. I think the public is supportive of the issue. And I'm praying like crazy that we're going to be able to get this done next year for these families.
Now, when this legislation passes, and I really do believe it will pass, and for the regular listeners out there, you know, they know me sometimes as a loudmouth, and I'm not afraid to take on people I disagree with. But when it does pass, how long from the time, you know, the legislation passes and you have these cultivators and then they're actually making the product, do you know about what the time frame is?
That's a great question. The bill we're looking for is really kind of three parts. The first part would be a decriminalization of cannabis oil with a maximum amount of THC, so low that you can't get high off of it, that's not smoked, and a decriminalization of that right away upon the governor's signature. So hopefully, you know, within by February or March, maybe early April, the governor signs it, all those families back home who have cannabis oil and have obtained it legally can feel free to come back home and not be worried about being arrested or having DFACS show up at their home for administering cannabis oil to their child. From that point, from the day of the governor's signature, we asked specifically folks who have done this before, how long will it take? And they said it's, you know, to get the regulations in place, to get the licensing in place, it probably will take between 6 months and a year. And so that's why we need to move quickly. We need to get a bill offered in the legislature, get it passed the House and the Senate, get it on the governor's desk as quickly as we can.
Well, you know, and like you said, time is of the essence. And, you know, Abe Hopkins and Trinity Smith, we don't need to lose any more. We can't afford to lose any more.
We sure can't.
I mean, like you said, if it was my child, if it was your child, I mean, we would go to hell and back to make sure that was passed. And I think, you know, from the people I talk to in Georgia and around Atlanta, they support it. The people that don't understand it by the end of a conversation, they do support it. So, you know, I think that this is going to pass. And if there's anything I can do to help, I mean, heck, I don't mind taking my show on the road. We have a call-in number. People can call in, have a roundtable, all that good stuff. But, you know, whatever I can possibly do to help with me and this little show, I mean, just let me know.
Thank you, Aaron, and I really mean it. I really appreciate your support on this, and we'd love to have you come to the Capitol maybe one day during when we're in session, January, February, March, chat with some of the families, because they're the real heroes in this story. These families that are fighting for this legislation, they're the real heroes, and so thank you. We appreciate your support and helping keep the momentum going.
Well, Representative Alan Peake, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, and you are definitely welcome back anytime.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Representative Alan Peake. He is on the forefront for not medical marijuana, but the cannabis oil that will help many, many children in Georgia. And, you know, a long-reaching effect all throughout the country as well, because look at Colorado. People are leaving Georgia to go to Colorado to help their children. Just imagine your child or your brother or sister or your cousin struggling with seizures, 200 seizures a day, a little piece of them passes on each time they have a seizure. And you better believe it, if that was my family, they would be in Colorado right now. But just think of the help that Georgia could provide to families, just like people moving to Colorado. They would come here for treatments until their state wises up and passes this legislation also. It's not going to get you high. It's not going to get your child high. You know, I guarantee that if the news organizations called this seizure medication, a new seizure medication, or a new seizure tonic, there wouldn't be so much debate on this. It would go through right away. You know, we had, you know, the Haley Hope Act is, it was House Bill 885, I believe, if I remember right, last year. And we had Haley's mom on the show. And there, you know, they moved to Colorado, and it tremendously helped her. Tremendously helped her. And why wouldn't we want to have that same help to the people in our state? You know, it's easy to kind of pass the buck, I guess, and, you know, oh, it's not happening to me. I don't know anybody. But how many times has something happened to you that nobody else understood and you wish somebody was there to help you? We need to be there for these families. You know, journeyofhopefund.com is a nonprofit organization that will help these families go to Colorado in the event this doesn't pass. There's a Georgia Medical Cannabis Study Committee, and I wish these news organizations, I'm just going to call them out right now, WSB, Fox 5, Atlanta, CBS, is it 46? They're calling it medical marijuana. It's not medical marijuana. Medical cannabis, there's a big difference. Cannabis oil, big difference. You know, I guess if they were true journalists, they would figure this out. I'll calm down now. But really, we've got to help these kids. I mean, it's kids, children, your neighbor. And if you're worried about a slippery slope, Representative Peek is worried about it too. And you know what that tells me? When a representative that is sponsoring this legislation is worried that it might be a slippery slope, that tells me it's not going to be one. Because if he's worried about it, he's going to put all the measures and precautions necessary. He has people all across the country helping them to write this legislation so we don't have recreational usage of marijuana in the state, like Colorado. Just look at Colorado. They did it all there. Look at the wreck that turned out to be, but not the cannabis oil. I just want to say that, not the cannabis oil. This seizure tonic, that's what it is. Taken orally or intravenously. You don't smoke it. You can't smoke it. There's not going to be teenagers trying to get this oil to try to smoke it. They can't do it. It's not going to get you high. The only thing it's going to do is, like Haley, from 200 seizures a day to just 8 in 1 week. What a relief that is. What a relief that is. And we still have a while left. You know, just this last year, two children died of seizures and other causes.
Trinity Smith and Abe Hopkins. We can't wait for this because 6 months to a year is going to take after this passes to get these cultivators up and running so they can produce this oil in Georgia. We're getting ready to go to a news break. After the news, we're going to have Georgia State Senate candidate Greg Williams on. We'll be right back after this.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Another NFL star is in trouble with the law. This time, former most valuable player Adrian Peterson. The Minnesota Vikings decided he will not play this weekend after Peterson has been named in an arrest warrant in Texas, accused of beating his 4-year-old son with a tree branch. The investigation of this case began in May.
We're told that he initially went before a grand jury and was very remorseful, and I'm told from my source that he was actually crying, saying he realizes he went too far with his son, but he made a mistake. And that first grand jury decided to not charge him. But then the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office took it before a second grand jury, and that grand jury handed down the indictment yesterday here in Montgomery County.
Isaiah Carey of Houston's Fox 26 reporting from Conroe, Texas, where sheriff's investigators say Peterson has been cooperative. His lawyer says Peterson never intended to harm his son and that he deeply regrets the unintentional injury. The controversial requirement that voters have photo IDs on Election Day has been restored in Wisconsin in time for a close race this fall.
The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals lifted a stay on a district judge's ruling blocking the state's voter ID law's implementation. Wisconsin has one of the most closely watched governor's races in the entire nation, as incumbent Scott Walker, a possible Republican presidential candidate, is locked in a tight reelection battle.
Dan O'Donnell of Fox radio station WISN in Milwaukee. A city councilor who's the older brother of hospitalized Mayor Rob Ford is replacing him in his election campaign in Toronto.
We want to build on the progress that Rob has made. And so, folks, I have officially entered this campaign. Thank you.
Doug Ford speaking to reporters in the past hour. Rob Ford is being treated for an abdominal tumor. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Getting you hired. I'm Cheryl Cassoni with the Fox Business Network. Liberty Tax Service is looking for nearly 40,000 seasonal workers as they get ready to tackle tax season across the country. The company has prepared 18 million tax returns since its inception. They need tax preparers, office supervisors, district managers, and marketers. National Grid is a power company that needs 200 positions filled. Call center staff, meter readers, engineers needed. Hiring in New York, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. Shamrock Foods has two divisions, Shamrock Food Service and Shamrock Farms. 200 jobs are open. They need plant operations positions filled. Warehouse staff and driver jobs are also open. Virginia, Arizona, Colorado, and California. Finally, Network FOB is a shipping company for freight customers and business customers across the U.S. They have 300 jobs open. They hope to fill by the end of the year. Account managers, branch managers, admin staff needed. Florida, Texas, Illinois, Missouri, and Colorado. For more on these opportunities, go to CassoniExchange.com. I'm Cheryl Cassoni, Fox Business Network, Fox News Radio.
Secretary of State John Kerry was working to round up support in Turkey for the fight that America plans to lead against ISIS militants in Iraq and Syria. He says 40 countries are offering support in one way or another. The parents of a journalist who was killed by ISIS terrorists in Syria says the U.S. government worked with them to try to rescue their son.
Diane and John Foley didn't hear from their son Thanksgiving of 2012. They didn't know what happened to James until a Belgian man called them.
His young son, Jesuwin, a Belgian teenager, had joined the jihad unbeknownst to his father and gone to Syria,
where he was one of Foley's guards. Diane told Fox News' Greta Van Susteren that they then talked to the FBI.
We were told to not talk to the media at all.
She has since said the government threatened them if they raised ransom money. A State Department spokeswoman says it's their job to help families understand America's laws regarding ransom, and that Foley's employer said there was never a real ransom request on the table. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
Police say they found the remains of a missing 2-year-old boy in Austin, Texas, where Colton Brandt is now considered the victim of a homicide.
The person of interest is, at this time in this investigation, is his mother.
Police Chief Art Acevedo says Megan Work is in custody. a conviction for South Africa's most famous Paralympian.
Blade Runner Oscar Pistorius was found guilty today of culpable homicide or manslaughter for the killing last year of model girlfriend Reva Steenkamp. He was acquitted, however, of a more serious premeditated murder charge. His bail was also extended. Sentencing is set for October 13th. He could get a maximum of 15 years in jail for the charge. An appeal is also possible. In Pretoria, South Africa, Greg Palka, Fox News Radio.
Away from the headlines of family violence in the NFL, the Players Union has approved a new league-wide drug policy, including tests for human growth hormone, which is an illegal performance enhancer. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. If you're just joining us, you've missed a good first half of the show. We had Representative Alan Peek on. He is leading the forefront to pass medical cannabis oil in the state of Georgia. And again, you know, like I said before, it's not medical marijuana like you may hear on some of the news broadcasts. Furthest from the truth, it's misleading. I think they're doing it just for ratings and to get your attention. Not medical marijuana at all. This cannabis oil has no effect as far as getting you high, getting you addicted. It will only help the children that need it. And I'm a big supporter of this, as long as, obviously, Alan Peek, and we had a show, oh gosh, it was a few months ago, and he was on it, and State Senator Butch Miller was on, and we had a bunch of family members, and that, you know, you can find it on the page. It's blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready, or you can go to my website, AaronMcCready.com, and listen to that episode, and it will really just, it'll really break your heart, listening to what the families are going through. It would really just break your heart. 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. You can call in the show, chat with me, be live on the air. Now, wouldn't that be fun? Then also, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready, AaronMcCready. And join our online chat there. Talk about politics. You can talk about the weather. We've got a lot of good stuff going in on the chat room right now on blogtalkradio.com. Here in just a few moments, we'll have Greg Williams on. He is running for state senate, and I believe it's District 42. It is Jason Carter's old seat in Georgia. And he currently holds that seat, but he is now running for governor against Nathan Deal. Nathan Deal, of course, the Republican, and Jason Carter, the Democrat. Now, Jason Carter, interestingly enough, if you didn't know, is grandson to President Jimmy Carter, of course, who is also from Georgia. And so that's a very tight race right now. The AJC poll came out today, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and then the headline from the AJC was Governor's Race in Virtual Tie. David Perdue has slight lead for Senate. And if you read this article, it goes on to say that Deal leads Carter 42% to 40%, and then Perdue leads none 44% to 38%. Now, just last week, a couple weeks ago, they were in a dead heat, and I mean even. And then even a little bit before that, the Democrats were leading. And, you know, one thing that we need to focus on is putting out good conservative ideas. Good conservative ideas. That will, by far, if you can put a good conservative idea out there and sell it to the American people or sell it to the Georgians out there, and they buy into it because it is good. And I don't mean, you know, oh, you're a used car salesman, try to sell me this, you know, peddle this idea. No. I said good idea. That will really help you. That will put more money in your pocket. That will help you do what you want with that money. Give you the freedom to go out and buy goods and services and not the government keep this money. I mean, just think, if you had an extra $100 a month, what would you do with that? Would you give it to your children? Would you go out to eat? Would you invest it? It's not for us to say what you do with it. That's why God put a brain on top of your neck, right? And that's what the Republicans believe. That's what conservatives believe, that you control your money the best way that you see fit. Now, you may think the next door neighbor, oh, they don't need to buy that car. They have two good cars. But then your next door neighbor, when they see you pushing around a brand new lawnmower, oh, they had a lawnmower. They don't need to buy that lawnmower. See, what's to say? Who's to say who does what with their money? That's what the Republicans think. That's what the conservatives think. We don't want you to have to give your money up to the government and have them spend and just throw away your money like it's nobody's business. Let me ask you a question. 646-200-3400 is the call-in number. 646-200-3400. Let me ask you a question. Maybe you can ponder upon this. And I'm being serious. I'm not being this conservative loon, this Republican loon over here. I'm really asking you a question. Tell me a time that you can think of that when you looked at your paycheck and you saw $100 taken out, $200, whatever the amount is, for income tax, state tax, FICA, whatever the case may be, you're like, oh, well, you know what? I really got my money's worth. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't mind giving it to them because they're managing it so well. I'm getting so much back to get, you know, from giving it to the government. I would love somebody to call in, and I'm sure they probably won't, because I cannot honestly think of a time that I looked at my paycheck, I'm like, I'm glad I gave that money away. I'm glad it was confiscated from me. Because of what I got from the government. You know, conservatives believe that the true conservatives believe, and I'm not talking about, you know, the rhino Republicans that some people talk about, rhino Republican in name only, R-I-N-O. I'm not talking about, you know, what they think. True conservatives, you know, true conservatives believe that the government is there to protect its citizens from foreign countries, malicious attacks, and from its citizens being taken advantage of. Pretty much the rest is all up to you. You know, they need to give roads so we can get around, of course. We need to have fire. We need to have police. We need to have EMTs. That's protection of the people, right? Those I can understand. I don't mind giving away money for that. But I still, when I see the money taken out of my paycheck, I cannot understand where it's going. cannot understand where it's going. I mean, can you? And we have a government that loves to spend. One day we're going to do an episode on the frivolous things that the government spends money on. There's a show on the Fox News channel called Stossel. S-T-O-S-S-E-L-L, I believe, or maybe it's one L. I'm horrible at spelling. And he has a show on, and he will tell you where the government spends money on and from and for and with. I mean, it is just unbelievable, the millions and billions of dollars that we waste on just a study of an ant. Still waiting on Greg Williams. Hopefully he will give us a call. 646-200-3400 if you'd like to fill in for him. But, you know, just think of the money, that the billions and millions of dollars that we waste on frivolous things, the study of an ant. And if we invested that back into the American people, just think how much further we would go as a country. The opportunities that we could give. People talk about education, and education needs more money, and that we need to invest in our children. Well, we need to invest in our children, but use this money to maybe help schools. And how many jobs do ants create anyways? I mean, now I know I'm going to get some hate mail from all the people that and it's Aaron at AaronMcCready.com if you want to email me, Aaron at AaronMcCready.com. But how many people get a job from an ant study? And you know, all the liberals and the tree huggers and everything. You know, and that brings me to another thing too. Tree huggers. Now, trees are renewable resources, right? So if you cut a tree down and you plant two or three, aren't we really better off in the end? I mean, really? So, you know, the tree huggers that go and wrap their arms around trees to keep people from chopping down the trees and keep the people from planting two or three more trees and actually really helping the environment by reducing, you know, forest fires and causing people to lose their homes. You don't hear about that, though, do you? From the liberals. Oh, no. You don't hear about that. That recovering some of the trees and chopping down some of the trees but then planting new ones helps actually protect homes from wildfires. Oh no, we don't worry about the people. Don't worry about the people. Let's just worry about the trees. Oh, the good old trees. I don't know where that. Tell me where I'm wrong. I don't know if you cut down one tree and plant three. What's wrong with that? Trees are renewable resources. Okay, I'll give you that on oil. Too much oil maybe. Oil isn't as renewable. It takes millions of years, thousands of years to make oil. I get that. You don't see them laying on the ground in front of a drill, do you? Well, there's a joke there somewhere, but we're not going to get into that. But, you know, it's just ridiculous sometimes that the things that people think are just so important. What's important to conservatives is you have more money in your pocket, so you spend it how you see fit to help benefit your family. That's what's important. If you had an extra $100, an extra $200, an extra $300 in your pocket, that's what matters to your family. True conservatives want you to succeed, not hold you back. Liberals out there want to hold you back, and you know why they want to hold you back? Because they want you dependent on government. They're playing you as a fool because they want you more dependent on government And why is this? So you'll vote them back in office. They're power hungry. So you'll vote them back in office because you'll be addicted to the money. You'll be addicted to the money that the government's given you, that your neighbors are paying for. Literally, money doesn't grow on trees with the government. Just because they have a printing press that prints all your money at the Federal Reserve doesn't mean that they can just print it as it goes. Oh, we need 100 more million. Start up the presses. That's not how it works. When you're driving down the street and you see that person in the BMW driving down the road and you're so jealous of them because they're in that BMW, instead of being jealous, why don't you thank them for feeding you? While you watch TV and play your video games, thank them for buying your video games for you. The Obama phone, thank them for buying that phone for you. And I am saying this out of love. I'm not saying it to bring you down. I'm saying this to boost you up. Just think of how much better you would feel if you had a job supporting your family instead of having somebody give all the time. Now, I understand, before you send me some more hate mail, I understand that there's exceptions. You know, you have people that can't provide for themselves. I get that. And there needs to be a plan in place for that. And I'm a strong proponent of people. If you go to a job, you go to a job, and what's one of the things that most places have you do? You take a drug test. You have to take a drug test to earn money, right? Right. We all know that. So if we have to take a drug test to earn money and help pay for people that are just sitting on their butts all day long, playing video games, eating Cheetos, and having a good old time, thanks to us, shouldn't they have to take a drug test too? Shouldn't they have to take a drug test to benefit from the money that we're giving them? We had to take one. See, we cater so much to the people that don't take an active part in the community, that are just leeches, parasites. And what's the definition of a parasite? Let me tell you what the definition of a parasite is. And this is true. Go look it up. You look it up in Webster's Dictionary, Wikipedia even. Just go look it up, what a parasite is. Parasites, in the end, they attach to a host. Feed off the host until the host dies, and then move on to something else. The people that don't want to help themselves will bring down this country. Oh, no, maybe not tomorrow. Maybe they won't bring us down tomorrow. Maybe they won't bring us down next year. But when a parasite infects your body, it doesn't bring you down right away. It's slow and gradual and eventually kills you. Look how much we're in debt right now. Look how much the government has spent on its citizens to keep them happy, make them happy. The Obama phone, free health care that really isn't free, that's really came to backfire on people. Look how much money we've spent on these things so they keep voting the liberals back in office. 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. They keep voting them back in office because they're getting something from them. Here's your phone. Here's your smartphone. Thank you for your vote. Here's your extremely expensive health care. Thank you for your vote. They're buying you off. They think you're a pawn. be like the person that you see driving down the street in the BMW that's giving you these things. This is America, for goodness sake. You can be anything you want to be. You think you don't have any money right now? You can be anything you want to be. All it takes is to roll up your sleeves and work hard. That's all it takes. You know, it's really sad when you drive through neighborhoods and you see people that, especially the children, that have parents that just sit around all day. Look what they're learning. Just sitting around all day. Conservatives believe in America and people and providing opportunities. That's what conservatives believe. That's what the Republican Party believes. Go look it up. Don't listen to the liberal media. Don't listen to CNN, to some extent, even Fox News. Don't listen to ABC, NBC, CBS. I can go on and on, PBS. Do some research. You have a brain in between your ears. Use it. And don't take, just the same with me, don't take what I'm saying as the golden rule or that I'm telling you the truth. I may just be leading you on to provoke you to go do some research, but I am telling you, conservatives want you to have the money so you can spend it on your own. Have more money in your pocket, not government's pocket. So you can do with, let me ask you a question. If you're living paycheck to paycheck and your child's birthday rolls around, how much would an extra $100 mean to you? $100 a month when your child's birthday is that month and you're living paycheck to paycheck. You'd see the joy in your child's eyes if you bought them a present. But you're giving the money away to the government that's treating you like pawns. That the liberals are power hungry, and they think they can buy you by giving you all this merchandise, free stuff, free goods, free services. My apologies to all the listeners today wanting Greg Williams to be on. I don't know what happened to him. He maybe had a previous engagement. We thought he was coming on. We were waiting for his call, but that never came. So my apologies to all the listeners. Thank you for listening tonight. It's been a great privilege and pleasure to come into your homes, to come into your phones. Some of you are listening on your phones. And my special thanks for State Representative Alan Peake, who's on the forefront of medical cannabis. Thank you for listening. Tune back in next week. And remember, take care of each other. And really look into this medical cannabis because it really will help children all around the state and really all around the country. Have a good night.
Aaron McCready.